Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it's wonderful to see all of you here this morning. Before we do anything this morning, before we sing a song, we're going to pray. I'm going to do that right now. Father in heaven, we thank thee, O God, that thou hast given us yet another opportunity to gather in thy name, to sing thy praises, to worship thee. We pray, O God, that thy spirit would be here today, that thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us. We ask, O God, for thy inspiration as we sing unto thee, that we would truly give thee our hearts. For we know that thou seekest such to worship thee, those that will worship thee in spirit and in truth. And we pray, O God, that thou hast presided over this entire service. We ask for thy blessings to fall today. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you can find your melodies of praise hymn, no, we're going to start with number 323 this morning, Just As I Am.
Just as I am. to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God. I come just as I am, the tossed about with men.
Wonderful to know that whatever our state may be, we can come to our Savior and He can cleanse us and make us free. Praise the Lord. Why don't we go to number 300 in the hymnal? Look to the Lamb of God.
Sin are longing to be free, look to the Lamb of God. He to redeem you died on Calvary, look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. For He tempts and doubts and fears assail, look to the Lamb of God. You in His strength shall over all prevail, look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the cheer and fill your heart with song, look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. For He alone is able to save you. Look to the Lamb of God. Fear not when shadows on your pathway fall, look to the Lamb of God. In joy or sorrow, Christ is all in all, look to the Lamb of God.
to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, why don't we go to number 240 and sing My Redeemer. The song on the next page, I don't think we've ever sung it before, and I've been wanting to try it for a while. So, 241, Whosoever Will, we're going to give it a shot.
Bless you.
Praise the Lord.
Over vale and hill, 'tis a loving Father. while you may. Jesus is the truth, the only living way. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, whosoever will. Send the proclamation over vale and hill. Tis a loving Father calls the wanderer home. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, the promise is secure. Whosoever will, forever must endure. Whosoever will, 'tis life forevermore. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, whosoever will. Send a proclamation over vale and hill. 'Tis a loving Father calls the wanderer home. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, whosoever will. Send the proclamation over vale and hill. 'Tis a loving Father calls the wanderer home. Whosoever will may come.
To God.
Hallelujah.
And we do have that invitation. Praise the Lord. That invitation from our Savior. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we just sang two songs in a row by Philip Bliss. Why not go for a third? Number 255, Jesus Loves Even Me. Praise the Lord. I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of His love in the book He has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Though I forget Him and wander away, still He doth love me wherever I stray. Back to His dear loving arms would I flee, when I remember that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Oh, if there's only one song I can sing, when in His beauty I see the great King, this shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. It's so true that He loves us, and Because he loves us so much, he took our sins away. Praise the Lord. Let's go to number 149 and sing that song right now. He took my sins away. I think what we'll do now is take up the collection. Thank you, sir. Father in heaven, we thank you this day for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank thee for thy blessings. We thank thee for thy care. We thank thee for thy love towards us. We thank thee for thy sustaining power. For we know it is only by thy mercy and thy grace that we can gather here this morning and worship thee and sing unto thee and study thy word. And I pray, O God, that thou wouldst give us the wisdom we need on how these funds should be used for thy purpose, for the cause of thy mighty name. And I ask, O God, that thou wouldst bless the givers here this morning and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to get started in the Word momentarily, but we're going to sing one more song before we do that. Number 4, We're Marching to Zion. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Well, praise the Lord. It's time to get started in the Word. And we will be continuing our series in Exodus this morning. We're on the 18th chapter. And you know, the Israelites, they were on a journey, weren't they? A journey to the Promised Land. They were marching through that wilderness on that way to that Promised Land. And we too are marching to the Promised Land, aren't we? But ours is a march upward. Praise the Lord. Our destination is up. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to be starting in Exodus, the 18th chapter this morning. But before I read even one verse, we are going to pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee, O God, that Thou hast gathered us here this morning to study Thy Word. And I pray, O God, that as we look upon Thy Scriptures, Thy Holy Word, we pray, O God, that Thou hast opened our hearts so that we may perceive and understand Thy Scriptures, O God. We pray, O God, that Thy Word would come alive in our hearts, that Thou hast teach us new and wonderful things from Thy Scripture. We ask, O God, that Thy Spirit would be upon us, Thy anointing be upon us as we look upon Thy Holy Word. And I pray, O God, that Thou hast give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that would perceive and understand. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you know, we've been in this book of Exodus for a while now. In fact, this is going to be part 8 of the series. So just about 2 months. And you know, it feels like we've been going on this journey with them almost, doesn't it? The Israelites, as they were brought out of bondage, a land where they had been in bondage for 400 years, but God used Moses to bring them out of that land, and He brought upon those 10 plagues upon the land of Egypt, in judgment of Egypt, and set His people free, just as He set us free, praise the Lord, and delivered us out of the bondage of this world, out of the bondage of spiritual Egypt. And last week we looked at their journey through the wilderness, how God sustained them and fed them with manna, bread from heaven. And I'm sure, absolutely sure, that that was the best tasting bread they ever had. And we've never had anything like that that would compare, but perhaps we'll get to taste it one day. Hallelujah. But praise the Lord, God's sustaining power fed the children of Israel. As they journeyed through that wilderness, He fed them with bread from heaven, and He gave them water from the rock. So we see that all throughout this journey, God's hand was upon them. And even though they grumbled and complained and murmured against the Lord, He was merciful. He helped them anyway, even though He didn't deserve it. And you know, He has helped us so many times too, even though we didn't deserve it. But of course, as we learned from last week, it's very important that we don't grumble and complain against the Lord. In fact, I can't think of anything more fruitless. You know, murmuring against God, that's not going to change anything. That's not going to help anything. But when we do need something, it's perfectly all right to pray to the Lord, to humbly seek Him, to ask that His will be done. And He does help His people. We've seen that time and time again in the Scriptures, and we've seen that time and time again in the book of Exodus. But here they are on their journey through the wilderness. And in the 18th chapter, where we're going to pick up the story, Moses gets a visit from his father-in-law, Jethro. In Exodus chapter 18, verse 1, it tells us, "When Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, and that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt, then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back." And as I mentioned before, all that had been done in Egypt, that was to be a witness not only to the Egyptians, but to all around the world, to those all over the world. And Jethro heard of it. He was a priest in the land of Midian, and he heard about all that God had done for Israel, for the people of Moses. So Jethro decides to meet up with Moses, and he brings Moses' wife, who I'm sure must have missed him quite a lot, as he was out on that mission to deliver the people of Israel from the bondage in Egypt. And verse 3 tells, and her two sons, of which the name of the one was Gershom, for he said, I have been an alien in a strange land. And the name of the other was Eliezer, for the God of my father, said he, was mine help, and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife unto Moses into the wilderness, where he encamped at the Mount of God. And the reason that was considered the Mount of God was because God's presence was there. If you went back to that mountain today, it would no longer be the Mount of God. We need to understand that. But because God's presence was there, yes, that was the Mount of God. And he said unto Moses, I, thy father-in-law, Jethro, am come unto thee, and thy wife, and her two sons with her. And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, and did obeisance, and kissed him. And they asked each other of their welfare, and they came into the tent. So this was a happy reunion. I'm sure Moses was very happy to see his father-in-law. And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord delivered them. Oh, and that would be quite a testimony, if you can just imagine. Moses telling his father-in-law about all the miracles that he had done by God's power, and how he went and stood before Pharaoh, and how he told Pharaoh time and time again, let my people go. And God sent those plagues upon the Egyptians and judged them, until finally he did agree to let the children of Israel go. What a testimony that would be. But you know what? We have a testimony too. And we should be out there telling everyone how the Lord set us free. How he delivered us from bondage. And it was Jesus Christ who did that when he went to that cross and took our sins upon himself and paid the price for our sins, a price we could never pay. For we know that the wages of sin is death. And he did die on that cross, but he didn't stay dead, did he? He arose victorious from that grave after 3 days and three nights because he had no sin of his own. And if he hadn't taken our sins upon himself, he wouldn't have been able to die on that cross. But yes, we have a wonderful testimony too. A testimony of deliverance. A testimony of victory. Praise the Lord. And verse 9 tells us, and Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, blessed be the Lord, who hath delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who hath delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, for in the thing wherein they dealt proudly, he was above them. And we remember that, don't we, as we studied those plagues, how each one of those plagues corresponded to specific gods in the land of Egypt, false gods that they worshipped. They had over 2,000 such gods and goddesses, those Egyptians. And, you know, the plagues that God sent upon them would directly correspond. And God was showing them, your gods are nothing. In fact, their gods weren't even real. There's only one true God. There's only one real God. All the other gods out there are actually Satan masquerading as these false gods. But their so-called power cannot match the endless power of our Lord, of our God. All of these fake gods and goddesses, they are nothing in the sight of the Lord. He is greater than all and above all. In fact, the scriptures tell us that the name of the Lord Jesus is the name above every name. And you know, someday we're all going to bow before the Lord Jesus and proclaim that he is Lord. And that's going to be a wonderful thing to do. It'll be happy for us anyway, if we serve the Lord, if we belong to him. But for those who don't belong to the Lord, they'll have to say it in defeat and agony that Jesus Christ is Lord. It'll be a happy thing for those who belong to him.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, for in the thing wherein they dealt proudly he was above them. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifices for God. And Aaron came and all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. So Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, he had a new understanding here. He knew that the God of Israel was the one true God, and that all those other so-called gods and goddesses didn't matter, not one whit. Verse 13, and it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from morning unto the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto even? Now Moses, he was a busy man, wasn't he? These people, they would, when they needed help with something, when they needed to make a petition to God, or when they needed a decision to be made, they would go and they would see Moses. And it tells us that he would sit there from morning until evening and judge the people. It was a full-time job. In fact, he could never really quite get it done. And, you know, there is wisdom here in this chapter. Yes, we need to make sure we work hard, but don't do more than you're able to do. And sometimes it's very wise to delegate to other people. And I have to say, I am thankful to have a support crew here at this ministry. I appreciate every single one of you who work for us and all that you do to help. But verse 15 and tells us, And Moses said unto his father-in-law, Because the people come unto me to inquire of God, when they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. So Jethro, being a wise man, told Moses, You need to get some help with this. You need to appoint some assistants, some helpers here. Hearken now unto my voice, I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties and rulers of tens. And it's important here, the stipulations here, men that fear God, men that love God, men who cherish the truth, men who hate covetousness, men who hate sin. Those are the type of people who can work for God. Yeah. And let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter that they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter that they shall judge, so shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then shalt thou be able to endure, and all the people shall also go to their place in peace. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law, and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel, and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they judged the people at all seasons. The hard causes they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way into his own land. And, you know, I believe that that's one of the reasons God sent Jethro to go see Moses, to give him that wisdom that he needs to delegate and appoint judges to help rule over people of Israel. There was great wisdom in that, wasn't there? And now we're going to continue on in chapter 19. In chapter 19, verse 1, it tells us, "In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai." So, at this point, it's been 3 months now since they had left Egypt. "For they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself." Praise the Lord.
Bless you, Jesus.
And He does bear us up on eagle wings. He does give us strength, so that we may run and not be weary, walk and not faint. You can read about that in Isaiah 40.
Amen.
"Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine." God's peculiar treasure. The people of Israel. Did you know that He has a peculiar treasure today? A peculiar people. In fact, I'm going to read verse 6, and then after I do that, we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 2, because we're going to see an amazing link to that chapter and this one.
Hallelujah.
Verse 6 tells us, "And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." So He's telling them, you are going to be a kingdom of priests. You're going to be a holy nation. You're going to be my peculiar treasure if you obey my voice. Now let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. And as I mentioned, we're going to see an amazing link to what we just read. We're going to see how that applies to us today. 1 Peter chapter 2. And we're going to start with verse 1. First Peter chapter 2 verse 1 tells us, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." And that's so very true. When we first come to the Lord, we're gently fed the milk of His Word. And as we get stronger and stronger in the Word, then we go on and we get the meat. The meatier matters that we find in the Scriptures. But yes, when we come as newborn babes, because we've been born again, when we come as newborn babes, we get that milk of the Word and we grow. "If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Yes, we are lively stones in the temple of God. And that's one of the reasons it's so important to gather together in the name of the Lord. Because I tell you what, when we gather together, when it's stone upon stone, we're all in the presence of the Lord, it's the presence of God is stronger. Because stones together are stronger. And we are lively stones. Lively stones built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And it is so true. In the Old Testament, God had a temple for His people, but now He has His people for a temple. And we are lively stones in that temple. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. When we believe on the Lord Jesus, he has a way to show us what we need to know, to give us understanding that we can only get from him. And you know, you look around the world and there are people all over the place who are confounded. They're confused. They don't know what to do. They're floundering. And the only way we can ever figure anything out on what we need to do with our lives is by the wisdom of the Lord Jesus, that wisdom that he imparts to us. And he does help us. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. So we see that there's this stone, his cornerstone, this rock, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the chief cornerstone, the cornerstone upon which we build our lives, upon which all the other stones are set. We are set on that chief cornerstone, that rock, that Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, to those who will not obey the Lord, to those who forsake him, it becomes a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Because they stumble at the word, because they're disobedient. But we see here in this chapter an amazing link to Exodus chapter 19. In verse 9 it tells us, But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And oh yes, we are called into a marvelous light, out of darkness and into that light of the Lord Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And when we get to heaven one day, we're going to behold that Lord sitting on the throne, Jesus Christ sitting on the throne, shining brighter than the sun. But you know, Jesus came to this world as a light to this world. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He was the light of the world, and they could not perceive that light. But yes, he has brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And it tells us here that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Sounds kind of like Exodus, doesn't it? God was telling his people back there, you're going to be my peculiar treasure. You're going to be a kingdom of priests. You're going to be a holy nation if you obey me. And that stands true for us today also. If we obey the Lord, then are we a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Praise the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know? That this salvation, it's open to all. It doesn't matter what your race is. It doesn't matter what your background is. In fact, the scriptures tell us there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither male nor female in the kingdom of God. But we are all one in Christ Jesus.
That's right. Amen.
But we see here that yes, his kingdom, we are a part of that kingdom now. It's not just for Israel, but it's for us also. And we too can be that peculiar treasure. People, you know, when they look around at God's people, they do think we're peculiar, don't they? They think it's strange that we run not with them. They find the things that we do to be weird. And sometimes they get upset when we won't go along with the things that they're doing. But praise the Lord, we have been called out. That's what it means to be a chosen generation. Praise the Lord. So we see how amazing That chapter, 1 Peter chapter 2, fits in with Exodus. And let's go back to Exodus right now, Exodus chapter 19. And we'll continue on there. I will go ahead and read verse 6 again in Exodus chapter 19. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. Now that's wonderful that they agreed to obey the Lord. And we should do that too. We should be willing to obey the Lord. But the sad thing about this is, as we continue on in the book of Exodus, we will see that they fell away very quickly. In fact, when God took Moses up into that mountain to receive the law, he was up there 40 days and 40 nights, and the children of Israel, they started to wonder, is he ever coming back? You see, that's something about the children of Israel. It's amazing. They should have had great faith in the Lord by now, after all that God had done for them, but they started to wonder, is Moses ever coming back? We don't know what became of him. Maybe he died up there on that mountain. After all, who could live for 40 days and 40 nights without eating? Well, we can when God sustains us.
Thank the Lord.
Yeah. But we see here, yes, they're agreeing to obey the Lord, but before Moses could even come down from that mountain, they were dancing around a golden calf, weren't they? And that was shameful. But we'll get to that later in the book of Exodus. But it was very sad that, yes, we see their eagerness, their willingness to obey the Lord. They're saying, oh yes, we'll do whatever God wants us to do. We will obey Him. We will follow His law. We'll obey His commandments. And that's good that they agreed to do that, but it wasn't very long before they fell away. And we know there are a lot of people like that today, aren't there? People who come and they have this great enthusiasm at first when they first hear about the Lord, and it seems like they can't get enough of the Scripture. But something happens. Somehow they change. The world gets in there and changes their heart. And before you know it, they've fallen away. That's very sad when we see that. But we see here, thank God that they did have this eagerness to obey the Lord. Verse 8, and all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I am come. Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And, you know, remember back when God first called Moses, how he said, I'm a poor speaker, who am I? In fact, the scriptures tell us that he was the meekest man on all the earth. But he had this reluctance to go and speak to Pharaoh, didn't he? But we see he's a changed man now, isn't he? He's not afraid to speak anymore. He keeps coming back to these people and he's telling them what God said. Speaking boldly before the people. But verse 10 tells us, and the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. And be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that ye go not up into the mount or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. So God is telling Moses, In 3 days, my presence is going to descend upon this mountain. And they're going to see my presence there. They're going to feel it. But they can't come upon this mountain. Only you. Only those who I allow on this mountain. No one else could come up there. Just Moses and the few that were allowed to go with him. But for the most part, they couldn't even touch that mountain, because that mountain was filled with the presence of God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
God's power so strong that ordinary people, for the most part, couldn't even handle it.
Hallelujah.
There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man. It shall not live when the trumpet soundeth long. They shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. And they were instructed, be ready. God is coming. God's presence is going to be upon this mountain. And you know what? We need to be ready today, because Jesus Christ is coming back. We don't know when it's going to be, but we see the signs unfolding all around us, don't we? We're getting closer and closer. And each day that passes is a day closer to the coming of the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we need to be ready for that appearance of our great King.
Hallelujah.
But verse 15 tells us, and he said unto the people, be ready against the third day, come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. Oh, they trembled in the presence of the Lord. They had never encountered a power as great as this power that they were feeling right now. And that is so true. When you get in the presence of God, when you feel His Spirit, there's nothing else like that. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai, on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. So God instructs Moses, go tell the people, don't try to come up here. You can't handle this power. And let the priests also, which come near to the Lord, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds about the mount and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee, but let not the priests and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. So we see here God's presence was upon that mountain. And then the 20th chapter, which we're not going to do today, we're going to save that next week. For next week, because next week we're really going to be diving into it, the Ten Commandments. I don't know how long it's going to take, but it's not a chapter I want to just rush through. But next week we will be studying the Ten Commandments in the 20th chapter. But we see here the stage is being set. God's presence upon that mountain, and He's about to deliver His law to His people. You know, as we read the Old Testament, God did give them a lot of laws to follow, didn't He? Have you ever wondered why that is? Well, I think the reason for that is because, remember when we studied Genesis last year? And it seemed like the people, they were always falling into mischief, weren't they? They were always doing something, scheming against each other, Jacob and Esau and so forth. They're always up to something. Even the ones who God loved, even the ones who were considered righteous, they often did things they weren't supposed to do. So now we have God saying, all right, you're going to have some discipline. You're going to have some structure. I'm laying down the law. And he gave them the law clearly and concisely, so very thorough, in fact. And we're going to see that in the coming chapters, just how thorough God was in laying down the law for his people Israel. But we see in this chapter 19 that God's power upon that mountain was so strong, that they could not, most of the people there couldn't even come up to it. But you know, we have access to the mountain of God today. Mount Zion, that mountain we were singing about earlier. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 tells us, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Oh yes, we're running a race, we're marching, but that march is upward, isn't it? We're marching to Zion, that beautiful city of God, Mount Zion, in the New Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. And in this verse, that great witness, great cloud of witnesses it's talking about is the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. We read up all about the faith of many of the people in the scriptures. It's a wonderful chapter. We've been there before and we'll no doubt be there again. But verse 2 in chapter 12 tells us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The author and the finisher of our faith. We are complete in Jesus Christ. He is the first and the last, the beginning and the end, Alpha and Omega. The author and finisher of our faith. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. You ever wonder sometimes why we face some of the trials we do? Because God is perfecting us. He's cleaning us up. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirit than live? You know, when God chastises us, it's because he loves us. It's because he wants us to change our ways and to not do the rotten things we did before. And, you know, this chapter talks about that, how fathers sometimes chastise their children. Of course, you can get in trouble with that these days if you spank your children. But you know what? All of my sisters and my brother, we were spanked sometimes, and we turned out fine. And you know, sometimes actually, you learn, hopefully, that when you do something and you get spanked, you shouldn't do that anymore. That seems to be the lesson we're supposed to learn. And of course, when we were kids, if you were going to do something naughty, you had to make sure you didn't do it when Dad was home. Because his spankings hurt a lot more. Of course, Mom, she had her wooden spoon, which she called her little friend. And it seems like we tried to hide those wooden spoons, but she always had more somehow. Must have kept buying them or something. As I think, well, some of my siblings are here today, we all remember that well, I think. But yeah, we did get spanked sometimes, and we survived. I know these days, if you do that sort of thing, they might call social services and take your children away. But I think that's pretty sad. You know, there are lessons that we learn. There are certain things we're not supposed to do. And God sometimes will chastise us too if we're doing things that we're not supposed to do. And He does that because He loves us. Verse 9, furthermore, we have had fathers of our own flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And that's true. You must be holy. You know why, back in Exodus, most of the people weren't allowed to go up to that mount? Because they weren't holy. You must be holy to access the mount of God. But we're going to see in this chapter that we do have access to the mount of God even today. Verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. We need to be sure that that root of bitterness doesn't take hold in our lives, because if you do allow it, it will trouble you. And we are defiled by that bitterness. We don't want to have that bitterness. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. There's a lesson to learn there too, isn't there? He wanted to repent of what he had done, selling his birthright to his brother, but it was too late. He could no longer repent of that. And there's a day coming when we will no longer be able to repent. It will be too late. But praise the Lord, thank God, it's not too late today. We still have that opportunity. And if there is anything we need to repent of, we should do it now, while we can, while that door is open, while we have that opportunity, because one day it will be too late. Verse 18, for ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. We just read about that in Exodus, didn't we? But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. You know, for the most part, those Israelites, they were told, you can't go up to that mountain. But here in the New Testament, we are told, you can go up to that mountain.
Yeah.
You can go to Mount Zion, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. We have access to the throne of grace today.
Yes, praise the Lord.
Although we may not physically be there, our hearts can be in heaven. Today, even right now, we have access to that holy mount, Mount Zion, that city of the living God, that heavenly Jerusalem.
Amen.
And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. You see, Jesus is our mediator.
Amen.
He is our access to God. Did you know that it's impossible to know the Lord Jesus, or to know God without knowing the Lord Jesus? You must know Jesus to know God. If you don't know Jesus, you can't know God. And I'm sorry, but that applies to everybody. Nobody is an exception. I don't care what your religion is. Yes, that applies also to the Jewish people.
Amen.
They must come through Jesus Christ, just like everybody else.
Yes.
And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth? But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Oh yes, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. But we need to make sure that we cannot be shaken loose from the kingdom of God. Because all that will remain in the end is that which belongs to God. Everything else will be shaken loose.
Amen.
Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. And we are a part of that kingdom, a kingdom which cannot be moved. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
A kingdom which cannot be moved.
Amen.
And we have access to that holy mount, that Mount Zion, that beautiful city of God.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Well, we will be continuing our study in Exodus next week, and we're going to be moving on to the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. It should be very exciting. Greatly looking forward to that. But praise the Lord. I'm going to go ahead and close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank Thee, O God, for all that Thou hast done for us. We thank Thee, O God, that Thou art our mediator, so that we may access Thy throne of grace today. We thank Thee, O God, that we can access that holy mount, Mount Zion, even now. And I pray, O God, that Thou wouldst continue to be with us, that Thou wouldst help us to not be shaken loose, but that we would not be able to be moved by the things of this world, that we would stand fast in Thee, that we would be stable in Thee, and set upon Thee our rock, lively stones in Thy kingdom. I pray, O God, that Thou wouldst continue to be with us. I pray, O God, that we would think upon Thee every day and follow Thee and obey Thy commandments, obey Thy word, obey Thy scriptures. Help us, I pray, fill us all with the Holy Ghost, fill us with Thy Spirit. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I know we usually sing a chorus in closing, but, you know, reading the end of that chapter in Hebrews chapter 12, it just seemed fitting to sing number 199 in the hymnal, I Shall Not Be Moved.
Bless you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Number 199.
Jesus is my Savior, I shall not be moved. In His love and favor, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, Lord, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters, Lord, I shall not be moved. In my Christ abiding, I shall not be moved. In His love I'm hiding, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters, Lord, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters, Lord, I shall not be moved. If I trust Him ever, I shall not be moved. He will fail me never, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters, Lord, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters, Lord, I shall not be moved. On His word I'm feeding, I shall not be moved. He's the one that's leading, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters, Lord, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters, Lord, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters, Lord, I shall not be moved. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Dismissed on the prayer in Jesus' name.
Thank you. Amen.